get it going. Today's date is July the 17th, 1998. If you don't care, just go ahead and state your name.
Okay, I'm Wilby Pratt. My real name is Wilbur James.
And what year did you graduate from?
I graduated in 1956.
Okay, now let's talk, I guess first just tell me a little bit about your family and where you grew up.
Okay, well I grew up in Hindman, and my father was an attorney in Knott County. My mother was a school teacher, and she taught on and off and off and on, and
yeah,
and raised a family, and we lived right in the edge of Hindman, and my grandmother was Dora Perkins, and one of my grandmothers was Dora Perkins, and I did not know my grandfather Perkins. My other grandparents were Pratts, and they lived up in Garner, Kentucky, Wilburn and Lucy, and we were totally on the left-hand fork of Troublesome Creek.
Yeah.
Both families grew up on the left-hand fork.
Okay, and now, did you have brothers and sisters? Or?
Yes, I had a sister that was older than me, Virginia Lee, and she lives in Georgetown, Kentucky, and has never been married. And I had a brother that was almost 15 years younger than me, Warren Clark, and he's an electrical engineer at present and lives in Toronto, Canada.
Okay. Now, when you were, I guess, how many years did you go to school at Hindman? Did you start in grade school?
I started in grade school and went all through grades, all through the first 8 grades and all through high school in the big city of Hindman.
Well, talk about the big city, Hindman. What was it? Guess what kind of what was it like in Hindman?
Well,
when you were in high school, maybe.
When I was in high school, it was kind of a rural town. For example, you know, I remember when we got television. I remember when I went to the theater in Hindman. I remember when they got the first movie there. So I guess it was kind of rural prior to that time. We had to go to Hazard or Princesburg or someplace like that to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Other people had television a little bit earlier than we did. I guess we got TV about I think it was 1954, but and I'm sure there was some other television. I remember. Stanley Napier and Little Hillard Smith both had antennas on top of the hill above our house, and they were always checking those. And finally, we got an antenna up there and got television. But it was somewhat of a pain to look after those lines, because every time we'd have a storm, we'd have to go up and do them. But Hindman was, I guess it was, pretty much self-contained. I don't know of anything we ever wanted for. There were grocery stores, and drug stores, and doctors, and lawyers, and Indian chiefs, and the whole bit was there.
Okay, so it's just all right there in that one little place. So I guess, did you live on campus?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I grew up in the edge of Hindman, walked to school all 12 years, and did not live on campus.
Okay, let's talk a little bit, I guess, about maybe your grade school years, not all of them, but just maybe some teachers or experiences you had in grade school.
Okay.
That stand out in your mind.
One of the things that really stands out, two things that really stand out in my mind, but first of all, and they were both kind of humorous, I guess,
well, that's always good.
the first one is not really humorous, but the first one was in the first grade, and an individual by the name of Buell Calton, who was a classmate of mine, remember, I'll never forget that one day at lunch, he kicked a girl in the eye.
Oh my
gosh. And my mother was the fourth grade teacher, and she happened to be on duty during the lunch hour. And Buell kicked her and ran to the boys' toilet, which was on the school grounds. And mother went in and got him and drug him out and whipped him hard.
She drug him right out of the bathroom.
She drug him right out of there.
That's great.
So I'll never forget that. That really made an impression on me. And the second thing that that made an impression was also concerned the toilets, and I happened to be in the second grade. But we were out on the school ground playing one morning, and John Milton Carter, whose dad taught at the high school, came running down on the playground. His dad had let him out of the car, and he came running down on the playground and said, you ran up on the, first of all, we had a boys' toilet on over here, and or over here on the left-hand side, and there was a cesspool with a concrete cover between them,
mm-hmm.
and we had a girls' toilet on the other end. And Johnny ran up on that, on top of that cesspool on the concrete, and said, "I'm toilet hole bound," and it broke through. And he really was toilet hole bound.
He fell
down in the cesspool.
How awful!
And that really made an impression on me. And he's, of course, his dad made him walk to town, get a box to sit on, or to get some cardboard to sit on. But that was kind of humorous, and I guess that goes to say that I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to my more academic subjects along the way, but we progressed, and I remember that I remember our teachers well in terms of you know, multiplication tables and diagramming sentences and those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
They really hammered those into us, and yeah. We really got a good education from that standpoint. And I think we all through grade school we got a good education,
mm-hmm.
and we progressed. Even though we didn't have the broad offerings that a lot of the schools across the state had, particularly the more urban areas, the things that we did have, well, we got them, and we got them well, and
yeah.
We were well taught. I think.
Who are some of the teachers you had in grade school, maybe? Or
okay, well, I had a lady by the name of Doris Dumbo in the first grade,
mm-hmm.
and Mabel Hall in the second, Emma Pigman in the third, and the fourth grade. I think we had Ethel Sturgill the whole year. Had Mavis Engel in the fifth. I'm a little bit uncertain about the fourth grade.
Okay.
At least about just when Ethel came, but I think in the I think she was there the whole year.
Yeah.
And Mavis Engel in the fifth grade. Had George Cornett in the sixth. Martha Allen in the seventh, and Betty Dyer in the eighth.
Gosh. I don't even know if I remember all mine that I had in grade school. You're making me look bad.
I hadn't thought about some of those folks for a long time.
Were there any of those teachers that, thinking about it, I know that I have certain teachers that when I think about them, I remember like maybe something they did in class, or maybe the way they dressed or something. Is there any that like when you're talking about them, you think, oh, you just have memories of them? Or?
Well, I remember Martha Allen in the seventh grade. We were... you know, she was, I knew Ms. Allen and knew her well, and I don't think that I personally ever played any pranks on her, because she and her husband had rented a place to live from my grandmother until they built their own home. And I got to know the Allens pretty well, but I remember she was pretty straight-laced, and,
yeah.
You know, she was... firm, and she was really an enjoyable person when you got to know her. But if you just had her in class or something, well, she was, you know, she was firm, and she was never jokey or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we had in the seventh grade room, we had a map box on the wall, and the students were always putting, and I don't think that I ever did, but I remember numerous times that they were putting rocks, small rocks. They weren't anything that would really kill you or hurt you bad, but they were putting small rocks in that map box, and then the lid on it opened downward, and when she would open the map box, the rocks would fall out. And I remember they were always doing that. And I also remember Mrs. Engel in the fifth grade. She was, I think, the only paddling I ever got in high school, in grade school, was from her. And she was always taking people out to the cloakroom and paddling them. And I'll never forget that. And I guess there are, a lot of instances that you could remember. But I remember in the fifth grade, Mrs. Engel. I remember the Sugar Creek Gang stories that we read. And we would always have a reading period in there. Spelling in the sixth grade, particularly, George Koenig was always insistent that we learn where the marks, the correct marks went, and the correct place, and all that, and I guess it all helped in the long run.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what about once you got on to high school? Who were some maybe people that stand out in your mind that you had, or maybe just classes that you enjoyed?
Okay. I guess a lot of people stand out in my mind, but George Cornett and Ref Kaler, Ref Carter, Mrs. Combs in English, Mrs. Hall in English, they're all the individuals, I guess, that really stand out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that Foster Calhoun, or we all called him Tub, Tubby, he was an assistant basketball coach, and he taught, I had sociology under him. And I remember that John M. Cornett and myself were managing the basketball team at that year, and we were juniors in high school. And we would always grade the papers.
Yeah.
That was our job. And of course, after a while, we got to just throwing them away. Putting the grade in the book. Well, one day, Mr. Calhoun caught us.
Uh-oh.
And that was a rude awakening on our part.
We
ended up in the principal's office. That wasn't too good, but I guess those are some of the folks that I remember in high school. And I remember when we built of course they've moved on to Knott County Central High School now, but we built a new gymnasium. Our new gymnasium was built at on the high school campus in Hyndman.
And
I remember Claude Freddy, who was the principal of the high school at the time. I remember I'd go out there and want to get up on those beams and walk across them every day at lunch. And Mr. Freddy was always getting me off, afraid I can see the danger now. If somebody had fallen, that would really be a tremendous kind of liability in terms of the school. One thing that really stands out in my mind about the high school was the work that our class did and the money that it earned in terms of our, of course, it was all to go for our senior trip. But
what kind of things did y'all do? I mean,
well, we went to Washington on our senior trip.
Uh-huh.
But the money that we earned was used for tiling in the new gymnasium.
Oh, okay.
Used for I don't remember what all, mm-hmm. but it was a lot of the decorations and kinds of things that went forth in the that it went for in the gymnasium. But we earned money on our senior trip and went to Washington, and I'll never forget. I guess that was a big time for all of us, and none of us had ever been very far from home, and we went to Paintsville and caught the train, caught the George Washington.
Did you?
Yeah. and we made a fast trip, and everybody rode the train. We saw all the sights in Washington, and we're back home, you know, in 2-3 days. And
mm-hmm.
it was a fast trip, but it was really worthwhile. And I think education wise, I think the people in Hyman got a good rounded education, and I would mm-hmm. think that the only part that was really bad was, and I wouldn't say that it was necessarily bad, but it was the rural versus urban, you know.
Yeah.
We just weren't exposed to as many kinds of other lifetime situations, and I'll never forget when I came to UK after graduating from high school that it was a big place.
Oh,
I'd
yeah.
never seen anything like that, and
mm-hmm.
I just didn't really know where to go and what to do, and had to dot my I's and cross my T's, but a week later, everything fell in place, and we were okay.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, I remember also the settlement was always the settlement school was always a large part of Hyman and the happenings and the events.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. That's okay. Something I've been really interested in.
I can remember a time in grade school when the furnace blew up in the grade school building, and of course the buildings that we went to had been I guess the grade school was maybe owned by the settlement.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the ownership, but the whole 8 years that I went there was in an old wooden structure with a playground on the settlement campus, and I think it was owned by the settlement. And I remember a time when the furnace blew up. I forgot I was in the fifth or sixth grade, and we were out of school for 3 or 4 days. It came a big snow, and we
mm-hmm.
were over at the settlement, and there happened to be a one of the few graded roads in Knott County, and a good place to sleigh ride. And I think everybody in the whole city of Hyman was up there at one time or another sleigh riding. And I'll just never forget that. And I remember us, playing and where the manual training house was, and where just a building was that housed just general maintenance, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was hard to separate the campus of the settlement school from whatever we did. It was hard to separate unless you went to the high school and you were physically separated by the creek.
Yeah.
You just never know whether anybody was bused in, or whether they walked as mm-hmm. I did, or whether they lived at the settlement and came over to school. You just couldn't hardly tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
If you just saw them playing, you just have to know. But at the time I grew up, all through grade school and high school, there were individuals that lived at the settlement.
Yeah.
And all through that period, and, they were just, there wasn't any difference in, there wasn't any difference made in people, no matter whether they were bust in, or whether they walked, or whether they lived at the settlement.
I was, because that's something I was wondering about, because, at this time, like you're saying, some people live there, but I'd say the majority were, you know, walked or were bused in somehow. And I guess from you being part of the town and being able to walk to school and live with your family, what was it like? I mean, I'm sure you had friends that lived on campus or whatever. I mean, just from being a friend of somebody, what do you think it was like for them to be living there, or, you know, to be away from home?
Yeah.
Because that's a really different situation.
Yeah,
'cause they're going
sure.
to a public school
sure is.
And living in like a kind of a private controlled setting. So, I don't know, did you ever, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess that that thought, I guess I thought about it more, you know, later in later years than
yeah.
I did at the time, but you just sort of took it that the individual that lived at the settlement, he had to, you know, he was tied up at certain times, he had work to do, and we all had chores to do, that sort of thing, but there were different times that they were, you know, they just couldn't come out and play, so to speak, but you had to respect that, and because everybody worked at that state of the settlement. And but there wasn't any real difference. I mean, you know, there we didn't think about they weren't segregated in terms of they those folks stay at the settlement.
Yeah.
These folks walk and these folks ride the bus. That just weren't there wasn't that kind of thought process for whatever reason going on.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, I hadn't really heard anybody say anything about that, but I was just wondering.
But I don't recall a time where you know that those guys. I don't recall any instances where there were fights or because they stayed at the settlement or because they were polarized. And from that, there was just a good blending. I can remember more fights of among us that lived in town, and
yeah.
you know that they weren't real fights, but little skirmishes yeah. and that sort of thing, and pranks more there. But I can remember more of those among the town folks than I can between the town folks and the Selma folks.
Now, was Miss Watts around?
Yes, Miss Watts was. Her presence was felt very much so, and she was there. You know, I've forgotten what year she retired, but I think she was there all of the time that I was in grade school and high school.
Yeah, I was thinking that she would have been.
Yeah.
What was she like? I mean, what do you remember about her?
Well, my impression of her was that she was, you know, she was, you felt her presence, you know, you just always felt her presence. You knew she was, even though you didn't see her from day to day, you knew she was there, and you knew she was directing the school, and that she was the person in charge, and that you'd see, for example, you know, I remember seeing Ms. Burns, remember seeing her a lot, and I guess she was out because of the grounds, and she was her job to look after the grounds and that sort of thing, and so I saw her a lot from the standpoint of her being around the school because they were the grounds and the school
yeah.
grounds, the settlement grounds, and that sort of thing. But you know, you just had a lot of respect for Ms. Watts, and you could tell that you know, even back then, you know, she was she had set herself apart, and she was apart from and part of the leadership of the community, if you will.
Yeah. So how much, I mean, like you were saying before, the settlement school and town were kind of like one entity, like it blended together. Were there, I mean, in what ways was that? Was it just because it was so close to town, or did they provide services or their programs or things that they did with the community at that time, or was it more just taking care of the kids?
Well, it was more just take care of the kids. There were things that they did that the settlement did in terms of the school system, you know, like provide the music. There was always a music teacher, or two or three, as a matter of fact.
That were provided.
Yeah, that would provide that kind of thing, the art kinds of activities.
Yeah.
But But as far as interjecting themselves into the community, they were kind of standoffish, to tell you the truth.
And,
Ms. Watts, for example, you know, I don't think anything ever really happened to Hyman that she wasn't aware of, and if anything ever happened that would involve the settlement or make things bad for the settlement, she was on top of that. But I don't think that that they really, you know, ever injected theirself or tried to run the community or inject themselves in the community.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, because I know that I'd talked to, like, students from several years before you were in school and asked them about the fact that a lot of their teachers were from New England. So I guess when you were there, there weren't as many, probably, mainly local people.
Yeah.
And that's a question I'd ask, well, what did people think in the community about these people? So, I mean, what did people, just from growing up, what do you think people thought about Miss Watts and Miss Burns and these ladies that had come from, you know, that's pretty far away up in New England. What did people think about that?
Well, you know, I guess I personally just never gave it a whole lot of thought. You know, they were there, and they were there for a purpose, and that purpose was to educate the kids and provide a means that they could and provide a place for, you know, there was just a lot of kids that would have never had the opportunity for an education had it not been for people like Ms. Watts and Ms. Burns to do what they did, and provide the settlement a place for them to stay and go to school, because there just weren't any buses, there weren't the transportation network just wasn't there at the time.
Right. Another question I had is talking about, you'd mentioned the art and music and things they provided. And I know when I was talking to Mr. Roberts yesterday, he was talking about the folk dancing and the emphasis that was put on that and things. What kind of, were you involved in anything like that? What was that like? Because I think that's really kind of fascinating that was emphasized, because it's kind of like, you know, part of the culture and heritage is being preserved even then.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And you can think back, and, you know, I guess, and the more you think about it, some things I hadn't thought about in years, but you know, I think about the May Day program that the settlement sponsored, and that was the community was always invited to those kinds of things, and whether they participated or not, or how much they participated was up to them. There wasn't any pressure to participate, but I can remember, participating in the May Day ceremony. I remember the alumni lunch in the settlement school always made sure that there was an alumni luncheon and that sort of thing. And of course, they said luncheon, but it was in the afternoon.
Yeah, now it's dinner.
It was dinner, but or supper, as we always said. But the dancing and you know, that was an integral part of family life and something that the settlement school sponsored and made sure that people could do. And I know we, as part of the school system, participated in those activities and I can just think about a lot of things that we probably wouldn't have had in the school system, dancing, the music program. I remember missionaries coming to the school, and they'd had a time that this was before we could display the Ten Commandments, and have prayer in school. But those kinds of activities that took place, and they were an integral part of what we did. And had it not been for the settlement, I doubt if they, you know, would have been there and been an integral part of what happened.
I thought that was really interesting that was emphasized, because you don't have that anymore, you know.
That's true.
Nobody knows how to folk dance or do things like that. I think it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Long, we used to. My wife and I. My wife is also a graduate there, and we were talking about that not too long ago. But you know, what an integral part of what an opportunity we did have.
Mm-hmm.
And where we might have not have had the breadth of academic kinds of subjects. The skills of the income of the workforce.
Okay. I think that's pretty interesting. Now, we've talked about the fact that you're a graduate of settlement, but you're also on the board.
Right.
And how long have you been on the board of directors?
Oh, gosh.
Uh-oh.
You know, since about 70, I don't know, to tell you the truth, 72 or 73 or 71 or somewhere along in
70s, there. Early
70s. Yeah, early 70s.
That's good enough. 70s. We don't have to be exact.
Okay.
And yeah, I just think that's really interesting that, you know, you grew up there, you went to school, went on to different experiences, but you still have this tie to the Hyman Settlement School.
Right.
And I guess how'd you go about becoming a board member?
Well,
how did that evolve?
out of the clear blue one day, Mrs. Weatherford over at, her husband was president of Berea College at the time, mm-hmm. and she was on the board of the Hyman Settlement School. She invited me to be on the board, and I always had close ties to Hyman, you know, mm-hmm. largely family, but the people, I guess, just kind of had been a drawing card and drew me back, and so I accepted that, you know, being on the board, and I'd have to say that I've enjoyed my tenure on the board, and all the things that have happened in the past.
And you've seen quite a few changes.
You've seen quite a few changes. I remember Mrs. Watts was still on the board,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the most dramatic change I remember was when your father was hired
as
director of the Hyman Settlement School, and Ms. Watts had a nephew that was a candidate at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I will never forget that. I happened to head up the hiring committee at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I will never forget some of the arguments that Ms. Watts and I had, you know, over the direction of the Hyman Settlement School,
uh-huh.
and I think if you know, I think that even though it was a long time ago, that's been my strongest contribution to the Hyman Settlement School. That's the one that at least stands out in my mind. And it was a matter at the time of whether we were going to hire somebody that would, you know, make the settlement a part of the city of the town, or uh-huh. Whether we would. I don't know how to explain it, but. Or continue the settlement and just let it find its own way, you know, have a direction, or let it find its own way. And I remember Mrs. Watts' nephew was, he was more interested in some of the books that were coming out about that time on death and what role death played. And I guess it was a matter of was there a role for the institution? Was the role, you know, active? Was it in the community, or was it sort of passive and more research oriented and that sort of thing, and,
uh-huh.
Or more of a foundation that you would just set off to the side and go about? And I think we made a good choice.
Well, I guess what What was kind of the direction of the settlement from the time that you came on the board until, I guess, maybe when my dad was hired, or those years? Because it was, I know that it was a lot different than it is today, because you wouldn't have had as many students. I guess there were maybe a few that still lived on campus.
Yeah, there was a, you know, it dwindled down to where there was, you know, two or three students.
Right.
In the very end. And I don't think that, and I wouldn't fix the blame. I don't know whether it was the board's fault. I don't know whether it was the director's fault. I don't know whose fault it was, you know. But I just don't think that, all of a sudden, Knott County had a transportation system, you know, that they could transport kids into school in the mornings and back home in the afternoons. And of course, everybody'd like to stay at home, I guess. And that mission just wasn't there, or if it was there, it certainly wasn't a priority with the board or the director or anybody else. But largely, I don't think that the county outgrew the school in terms of the transportation network. But I'd say that there was a period where the settlement school was just had to find a direction, you know.
Yeah.
I guess that's what we went through when your father was hired, when Mike was hired. That what would the direction of the settlement school be?
Mm-hmm.
Would it have a direction? That sort of thing.
So I guess thinking about back over the years that you've been on the board and been a part of the decisions that are made, what do you feel have been some of the more important things that have taken place, maybe in terms of programs or just things that you feel, in your opinion, have been so important to the development over the past 20 years?
Well, first of all, I think that given the school a direction of being a part of something, you know, mm-hmm. standing for something, you know, was an important decision. I'll never forget when 3, 4, 5 of us, we went over to the James Steele building that it is now, and used to be the old library. And I remember Miss Standish and Mr. Steele as librarians there. And using that building for that purpose. But I remember some of us going over there, and then the building was all full of everything in the world.
Junk. Yeah, I remember.
Had no purpose, really. And we decided that we'd have a child development program in the city of or in Knott County. We didn't, nobody had any real idea, I guess, of what that meant, but we knew that children were important, and they were, the backbone of the community, and they would mean the backbone of the community. So we just felt like that a true mission for the school would be to something to do with the children, to sort of interject the school in there, in the community, and in the county, and have a mission for it, rather than just let it flounder around and do whatever it wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I think that was an important decision in terms of doing something for the children of Knott County, of Eastern Kentucky. And it's grown into the dyslexia program today. So that's, I think that's probably one of the most important things that we could do. And I think that the work that your dad has done in terms of upgrading and not letting buildings and this, not letting the campus just cave in, as well.
Yeah, I think it's funny that you say that, because I know that a lot of people don't agree with that.
They
like the fact that, I don't know, I guess it's just the fact that things have changed over the years. And I think that that's really hard for a lot of people that went to school there and lived there. It's hard for them to understand why you would want to build a new kitchen or why you would want to you know, replace things. And yeah. I just think that's been a question I've asked people, you know, what do you think about the belts? And some people, you know, they say, I don't like
well,
it.
Well, yeah,
and
I can understand that, you know, yeah. because change is hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard on people, and you don't want to see that stuff change. But my goodness, you know, we've got buildings on that campus that would have, you know, really fallen down. Had, you know, they would have already fallen down.
Yeah.
Had, well, you know.
I know. I lived in one of them for a while. Yeah, I can see.
And people just don't realize that, you know, that happens, but it does.
Yeah, and yeah, I understand that. I mean, I know that's hard to,
yeah.
that's hard to deal with, I guess. Well, thinking back now over this conversation we've had, what, if somebody, if I were to say, you know, what impact has the Hyman Cinema School had on your life? What, you know, how would you answer questions like that? I know it's pretty broad.
Yeah, well, it is broad, but you know, I would definitely say that the Hyman Settlement School has had an impact on my life, and it's had an impact on everybody's life, and Knott County. You know, just the fact that the level of people that the settlement attracted and brought into the community were there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about, you know, it is pretty broad, and I don't know what the total impact that it has had on my life, but my father, my mother, and my uncles and aunts, you know, they all went to the Hyman Settlement School, and a lot of them stayed there. And I remember my father, worked there, you know, and he lived there, and I can remember things that I remember finding in an old book. I remember finding a little sheet of paper that where he had been paid, the receipt, I guess it was, that he had been paid by the settlement for 35 cents for working the entire week, you know.
Gosh.
That was just, which would be, you know, unheard of today, but you know, so that kind of activity, and the fact that those people, and my parents, went there, and the impact that the settlement had on them, and in turn, you know, what it might have had, you know, and what they might have turned out to be had it not been for the settlement, and you
mm-hmm.
know, it's hard to measure what the settlement's impact on your life might have been. But, you know, if you just take all things even, from the time that I grew up and went to school, I would say that it certainly has had an impact on my life.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's hard to measure, but I definitely think it has.
Okay. Well, and this is also a kind of a weird question too, but it's one that I like to ask people because sometimes I get some pretty funny stories out of it. But what would you say is like your most special memory of being there and being at the settlement school, even if it was grade school, high school, or being a board member? What's maybe there's one or two things that just something that's special to you when you talk about settlement, or maybe it's a person that you knew there. It could be, you know, any number of things.
I think the most important thing to me was the play that the settlement that was put on at the settlement, and the settlement had a large part in it, even though it involved a lot of towns people and.
Mm-hmm.
And county people that portrayed the founding of the settlement and its role in the community,
mm-hmm.
Its role in the county, if you will. It's a pretty big community.
Yeah.
It took you. you know, by you know, it was all local, and it was by local people, and I think that that's probably the thing that stands out in my mind is being the encompassing a lot of things for the settlement, for the county, in terms of what it, you know, what it would mean to me.
So was that something they did every year?
No. That was put on one time. I remember I was in about the fourth or fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had some little party. But, you know, it involved almost everything. But I remember some of the townspeople. I remember Dave Wallen, for example. He was an individual that lived in the city of Hymer, in the edge of Hymer, lived across the creek from my grandmother. And I remember him in particular. I don't know why, but I remember him singing religious songs, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was a, they had a had a scene in there where there was a where they sung some religious songs. And, but I just remember you know, that just had a tremendous impact, I guess, on me from the standpoint of portraying everything that the settlement had done, what all it meant to the community, and that sort of thing. And the participation that, and you know, you could, there's not much to do in rural areas, but
right.
And that's part of it, but the participation that they had was just tremendous from the standpoint of the settlement, you know, being the sponsor, and the community being, there was just a big sense of community, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And all that. That's pretty neat. I hadn't heard about that before. Well, is there anything that I haven't asked you about maybe that you think would be important for this project or that you've thought of while we've been talking?
No, not really. I think we've hit on the highlights of the things that you know, that I can think about.
Because I know, of course, I mean, I have these questions and I look at some of them, and then I usually go by whatever we're talking about. But I just like to ask people if there's anything that I've left out or anything.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we can, and you know, not because that you're interviewing me, or but I don't think we can underestimate the importance of when your father was hired, where Mike Mullins was hired to as director of the Hymer Settlement School, because I think that set a direction for the school. And I think that's very, very, very important, because we could have made a decision to go some other route.
Right.
And I think that is important.
Okay.